He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
So I, full disclosure, thank you, Dr. Brown, for the heads up. This is the last time we're going to have you on for at least a few weeks. You got a lot of stuff coming up.
I do.
I get it. It's fine. Did you miss me last week? I left you last week.
I did miss you, and I feel really bad that I'm not going to be around for the next few weeks.
We're on a break.
But I get to. But it's going to be a great trip. We're doing a river cruise in Germany with my parents. So
that's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
I'm
throwing out a shout out for everyone.
It's
actually. If you haven't done a river cruise in Germany through the Rhine or the Danube, it's amazing.
I have not, so I'll write that down with all the other recommendations that you've
given
me over
down.
The years. Yes.
Write down. It's very, very cool.
Okay, cool. I will. That's awesome. Well, I hope that you have a great trip. But before you go there, I want to we're going to do something unique here, Dr. Brown. I have a couple things on my list, but if there are certain things you want to make sure we cover, especially knowing you're going to be gone, I'm going to give you that on the other side of the break. Couple things that have come up. First was no real shocker here, but we did have questions about it. There was a measles outbreak, but this was in the California area. I know we have seen measles outbreaks here. The question we had from listeners was in regards to where are we at in Connecticut? Is this still kind of an issue we continue to see, measles outbreaks?
We actually, I have not. So my recent look at the Connecticut DPH, we have not had any outbreaks in the state. I'm trying to see if we had anything recently. Yeah, nothing recently.
Okay.
So we have not seen anything in Connecticut for a while. I mean, New York, absolutely.
Well, and that's not too far away. I think that was probably one of the questions that people had. Right. But is that an issue that our neighboring state, they're still having outbreaks? I mean, I feel like the last time we heard about an outbreak was in Westchester County, but this was a while back. But I remember that very...
I am looking right now. I am looking at some resources here, and the last case we had in Connecticut was actually December of 25.
Okay, so we're doing pretty good.
We're doing okay.
Okay.
We're doing okay.
Okay, we love to see that.
So, we're keeping, as I said, obviously keeping an eye out on that, and the concern is going to be usually we don't see a lot of measles in the summer, even though it doesn't really define it that much, but we may, you know, in the fall when people start getting back together, we may.
Okay. And again, the big thing with measles, that comes down to vaccination rates.
It absolutely comes down to vaccination rate. And the problem, and the reason why we usually see it, is either gatherings or it actually has to do when the weather gets cold again. I'm ignoring this coming week. But when it gets cold again, that's when we start seeing everybody sort of being inside after their travels and
they're not
vaccinations.
I mean, we're talking getting down to 50s, maybe 40s.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're kind of, hopefully, knock on wood as I say that out loud, I'm hoping that the cold is kind of behind us. I know it's New England, but my gosh, we're in the 80s right now. So
exactly. Exactly. You know, it's going to be a beautiful day today.
Yeah, we should still kind of stay outside. That's fair. Another thing that was brought to my attention, Dr. Brown, the Texas Department of Agriculture is sounding the alarm. Did you hear about this? After New World screwworms, which sounds disgusting, were detected just 90 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. You know about that?
I did. I heard a little bit about it. Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know what that is. I know the picture that was provided is pretty gross. I'm sorry.
Yeah, those are. Yeah, I mean,
it's gross.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I'm being careful of my wording here, Melissa.
But there, I mean, I know in the whole thing. But I remember you and I talking about it wasn't this. But would you say it's similar to, remember how we talked about be careful when you go into the ocean or you go into Long Island Sound and you have a cut?
That's a bacteria.
That's a bacteria, right. But isn't it kind of that same sort of thing where screwworms are a problem if you have an opening or a wound?
Yes, but they're mostly in wildlife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that you don't see it all that much in humans, and then yes, you would actually have to be Yeah, you would have to have some dead tissue. Again, I'm trying to be careful.
It's
morning.
Here,
I don't want to be. What? I could see someone eating their breakfast.
Right.
And I'm like,
so before I even. So maybe we don't even have to go there. I mean, are you worried about this? Let me just go there. Are you worried about this?
I am not worried about this.
Perfect. See,
I think we're in good shape. I think these are interesting because these are organisms that are usually, you know, contamination. They need to be spread from one to another. There's certain things that you get. You know, it's a reason why it's in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
because they don't have the cycles that we do. They don't have the seasons like we do. It's usually found in lower Texas. So it's usually in South Texas. It's usually when you see those. Usually on the Mexican border. Again, the seasons that we have in New England sort of eliminate a lot of these organisms because they end up dying. They can't handle the cold.
Okay.
So we don't usually see, unless you're traveling, and then again you have an open wound or a bite. There are different pests that we get even more south, down in like Belize and Central America, things like bot flies. Which are sort of the same kind of aspect where they end up burrowing into the skin, into a hole, and then they sort of just live there.
Well, and I think that was one of the concerns with this was the idea of if an insect or a fly, essentially, if they, you know, are not contained properly, if that could spread. I mean, that likelihood of you know, a fly in Texas making its way to Connecticut. I don't know.
It's more likely that you would get, you know, you would get it while you're in Texas.
Got it.
You know, visiting, you actually have it. And again, it's going to be more likely you have an open wound. It's not cleaning. Most of the people who have that are usually not traveling to Texas and back to Connecticut.
Fair.
So
that's fair.
Just it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, no, that makes sense.
Again, I think we always have to be careful when we're talking about livestock, we're talking about wild animals. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, transportation of wild animals across, you know, across state borders is not allowed. This is just another example. Same reason why, if you ever wonder why you go through, you know, the TSA and they have a big list of things that you don't transport.
It's true.
To keep the insects, to keep these types of organisms from moving forward.
Makes sense. The other thing
is mostly an animal. It's mostly an animal organism.
Oh, okay. But the
like not
but
a human,
again,
non-human.
Right. But the idea of it, you know, making its way, that's pretty low.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. I have to ask about this as well. And I know, I think at this point, though, people probably put their breakfast down. That's what they probably did. Or they ate earlier. And we love that for you.
That's good.
CDC talking about this type of superbug on the rise. Shigella? Am I saying it right?
Shigella, yes.
S-H-I-G-E-L-L-A? I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Yep. It's funny because...
are you still trying to figure out how to talk about it without talking about it? Shigella.
No. This one's actually... I mean, you really have... You really are going for the fun today.
Shigella, I don't know what to tell you. These are what's coming up.
It's okay. It's a good one. So Shigella is... So it's funny because I know we always call them super bugs.
Yeah.
Which is sort of funny. So I actually had to look up and see which superbug. So there are a lot of different superbugs. And when you hear the term, let's talk about terminology. When you hear the term superbug, really what they're referring to is resistance.
So they're antibiotic resistant.
Correct.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you can get, there's a tuberculosis superbug. There's a several bacteria that can be superbugs.
Oh, interesting.
All right. So let's talk about sort of what there's the flesh eating bacteria.
Yep.
That would be considered probably more of a less of a superbug or more of a toxin producer. So those are all that are potentially there. We watch those very closely. The one that's the most concerning is organisms like Shigella. So let's talk a little bit about what Shigella is. So Shigella is a bacteria. Remember, we always like to break it down, parasite,
yep.
You know, is it a parasite, is it a fungi, or is it a bacteria? This is a bacteria, and it's actually a common bacteria that causes food poisoning.
Dr. Brown is here, and there is they call it a superbug. The CDC is saying there's a superbug on the rise, Shigella, the Shigella infection. So, Dr. Brown, you were just kind of breaking it down for us and saying this is probably one of the more dangerous, if you want to call them, superbugs, which basically means it's resistant of antibiotics.
Correct, yes. And Shigella, so Shigella is, if we're talking about the most infectious bacteria that causes food poisoning, this is the one. So it only takes a couple organisms to cause severe diarrhea. And you can get very sick from this. And it can actually lead to sort of activation of the immune system and can get you to be really sick. When people get so the good news, bad news. The bad news, obviously, is that, you know, it is resistant to the typical antibiotics that we would use. So having sort of traveler's diarrhea or going somewhere and having an outbreak, you know, having a resistant organism is a real issue because the antibiotics don't work. A lot of times, though, when you do have food poisoning, it's what we call self-limiting. It actually goes away on its own. So a lot of times you don't even need to necessarily treat these, which is good. But again, it is a problem because if you have a resistant bug, when it's resistant, then you're kind of stuck with, all right, well, what do we use, especially if you're really sick from it. And it can lead to some bad outcomes, include severe dehydration, and again, there can lead to blood abnormalities, so your blood itself can actually get some abnormalities, and it could be very dangerous.
Yikes. I mean, if they, and that in general for superbugs, if you do have a resistance to antibiotics, do you just have to write it out? I mean, what is the solution there?
So when we talk about resistance, it's usually about the most common antibiotics that we would use.
Okay.
There's even the most resistant bacteria that we have out there, there's still some treatment for it. And we're lucky in that aspect. So we're able to sort of manage it. And it depends where it is and what it's doing. But yes, it's concerning. And it's very concerning. It's actually something I learned last week. It's actually called the Red Queen or the Red Queen dynamic. It's really great for microbiology. So the Red Queen dynamic is the more we develop something, the more that something changes. So the faster you run, the more
the further you get. Right.
The more you run, the further you don't get.
Wait, why?
So what happens is that. So let me talk to you about the bacteria. So
yeah.
We develop antibiotics to bacteria. Bacteria develop resistant to that antibiotic. We develop another antibiotic. That antibiotic, then that bacteria becomes resistant to that antibiotic.
So the harder we go,
it's like running on ice.
I got you. We're not getting anywhere. We're just tiring ourselves out and we're just killing. Yes, I got you now.
Red Queen dynamic.
Oh, well, isn't she just delightful? Okay.
Isn't it? Yeah, so just again, a nerdy thing. Your husband will appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And honestly, I do appreciate you nerding out because actually I think, so I did ask Dr. Brown in the commercial break, I said, are there any topics before you leave us for 3 weeks, which I hope you have a fantastic trip, by the way,
what you
want to talk about. And you've been nerding out about space travel. You have.
I have. So there's a whole new field of microbiology and infectious disease called astromicrobiology. It's really interesting. Again, I can nerd out really a lot on this.
Oh, I know you can. I know.
But I mean, for the listeners, it really is about what happens when we leave the planet and bring the bacteria with us.
That is such a great question. I mean, is that why when astronauts return, they almost go into like captivity for like 2 or 3 weeks?
They do. So one of the things is that, and again, a couple really quick things. One is that when we find that when we go to space, our immune system goes wacky.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And then the viruses that we have latent, like latent herpes viruses. So those mm-hmm. are very common viruses that we have in our body. There's a whole family of those. There's a 50 to 60% reactivation when they go into space because our immune system can't keep it contained.
Interesting.
And I got another good one for you.
Melissa, yeah, no, I do want to hear. No, I do want to hear. I just guess if that's so. What when they come back? I mean. You should go and like see them in action when they're coming back, or like I don't know how you can watch people do surgeries and things like that. You should go watch how do they stabilize them then.
So interesting enough, what they do in space is they actually I'll just use sort of the crude. They pump them with probiotics.
Oh, okay.
They give them probiotics by then. They have a very intensive probiotic regimen.
Huh.
Their exercise becomes also really important for the microbiome and their GI tract. But bacteria that are resilient do well. bacteria that are not resilient, that can't live, you know, in that kind of setting, in particular without gravity, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
But because it can't live in that setting, what happens is that those bacteria, the ones who are more resilient, which is usually our gut bacteria, proliferate, and they in turn are the ones that can be more pathogenic.
Interesting.
Now, we don't know what happens because it's not a long, we don't, you know, we're not, in general, we don't have, our astronauts haven't been staying in space for so long,
right,
that we knew it. But when we go live in the moon, this is something that we're really going to have to talk about is what is astromicrobiology and astroinfectious diseases all about?
So they got to send you to the moon. Is that what you're saying? You've got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, so I can tell you, I'm working on right now, working on some research and some papers on just getting some of that data together.
Cool.
But I got a good one for you, Melissa.
I want to hear it.
You can end it. Is that on the moon landing?
Yeah.
I got this. This is fascinating. So in the moon landing, because the original moon landing in 1969, right?
Of course.
So in the original moon landing, so to take off, they had to leave all of their wares, let's say. You know, there's a camera there, there's, you know, the launcher there. They also left their waste. So there's bags of poop on the moon.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
And of course, you're fascinated by this.
I am fascinated. I think when we get back to the moon, we need to bring it back and see what happened. Because, I mean, after all that period of time, we left technically a living organism on the moon. I'm sure they're all dead, but, I mean, who knows, right?
You just can't wait to be at the top of that list. You're like, I volunteer as tribute. I want to research this. You are an amazing person, I tell you. I adore you so much.
I told you it was a good one.
Oh, it's a good one, all right, and you are a good one. Dr. Brown, we so appreciate you every single week. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful vacation, and we'll see you when you get back.
Yes, you will.
I can't wait. All right. Enjoy. All right, be safe. Enjoy your family. I appreciate you. Dr. Brown, he's such a nerd, but I love him so much.